Welcome to Inside Out, The Naked Truth. Coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.
Nudity is not just skin deep, and we do our best to uncover our truth from common and not so common beliefs, perceptions, assumptions, and attitudes. There you go. And we do this through conscious conversation, poetry, music, and humor, and hopefully your input when you call in.
I am Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And I am Errol. Just a minute.
No, just don't, say
don't
it.
Tell
just
me.
Say what you're laughing.
Strider.
Thank you.
Strider.
Well, we're in for a bumpy ride tonight. Okay, tonight's show is brought to you by Go Raw, 100% raw food that not only tastes good, but is good for you.
And Go Raw can be found in Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, and the organic section of Costco, among other places. So go to goraw.com and find a store near you and find out more about those wonderful natural Go Raw products. Thank you, Go Raw.
Well, tonight's show is called What's Your Story? What is your story? No, not a made-up one, but the one that you are involved in. You know, things are happening to you, around you, above and below you, inside you, and outside you. For instance, so here I am, sitting with my iPhone, computer, iPad, whatever, and listening to some friends of mine spout their stuff, because I like them. They remind me of who I am. They make me smile, and even laugh. Now that's someone's story. It might be yours. But, and here's the puzzle, stories are supposed to be made up, not lived. That's what you might say. But what if it were true that we live our stories and we live our lives knowing every moment we are writing and living our story? It's neither dull nor vibrant, but that and much more. It is life living it through me. I am my story. I don't have to take it so seriously that I forget it's a story. I write my part in the story. I envision all the other characters using the body parts I see. I make up things on the spot in my story. She doesn't like me. I'm no good. I'm forgetful. I'm wonderful. Everyone loves me. I'm so special. I am above everybody else. Everyone steps on me. Everyone is above me. What kind of person does that? He cheated me right to my face. God, we have great stories. And when we get that, it is our story. Joy comes into our hearts. And somehow, we enjoy other people's stories a lot more. We know stories are wonderful. So what's your story, eh?
Boom, 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 boom.
Because every day here I work in the office here at Lupin Lodge, and sometimes I work with people and help them find places to live, and just be the hospitality director, you know, with the staff and other people. And every interaction I have is a story. Not because it's special, but because that's it. Every interaction I have is a story.
Well, lest we lose you sometime during this program, I want to state our premise very clearly and concisely. Rochelle's going, right. It's about not getting caught up in this story that we're living out. Often as not, when people are challenged or aggravated or disturbed by other people, you will hear the story. Well, he did this and she did that and I did this and they should have and they wouldn't, blah, 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 blah. But it's just a story. And I believe that what we're trying to do is get beyond the story. I want to read you something that is from the Keys of Yeshua, and this is Yeshua, a.k.a. Jesus of Nazareth. His whole chapter is on the end of story. He says, in the beginning, life was given as a gift to itself. It existed long before there was a story to tell about it. and life will endure long after the last story has ended. Life does not depend on stories for its authenticity and authority, although it does seek to experience and fulfill its nature. For that reason, life connects with stories. Stories are the containers of experiences. They're as ancient as language. We love them. And also, stories can be used to manipulate people and nations, stories that embrace the hope of large numbers of people. Well, as we're trying to suggest here, this is not about story. Complete dependency on stories will cost a person his personal liberty and destroy his creativity. He will long for the past and even more so to be in present time, as if that were strange and a special place to be. Yeshua says, I promise you, there is nothing but present time. It's just that you can't realize it when you are completely engaged in the perpetuation of your story. What you long for is to be free of your stories while yet retaining the positive connections and experiences that built them. There is a way to do that. But first, you must understand the limited nature of stories and the greater power of life.
Well, I think that's it. You know, the story is fascinating. It's always fascinating, and I'm living it in the moment. The thing is, like everything else, not to be attached to it. And that's where the freedom comes, and that's where life exists, in my detachment from the story. At the same time, enjoying the story, because it's very enjoyable. Stories are always enjoyable. And my story is enjoyable because it's about me. I understand it. I know it. I can authenticate it by my experience. But it's just, you know, it's passing. It's always passing. And so if I try to hold on to my story, and if I try to, what's the word? If I try to identify myself with my story, then if the story doesn't live up to my expectations of how I should be, then it becomes a very sad story. But it's very difficult to be in the world but not of it, to be in the story but not of it.
What I notice are the times I use the story to justify my position. Well, yeah, because if he had done this at the time I said, or if he hadn't have said that, or she would have gone over there, then we would have had the outcome that you now see, which is do all over everybody and everything in some form of human version of that. And this is why I am justified, because he didn't. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be facing a situation tomorrow where a person expected me to do something today. I haven't talked to this person. And to clarify that we didn't have good communication, but my guess is that person will try and justify his expectation. And so I have a choice. Do I try and walk in and justify my expectation with something like, well, the last time we talked, you said that the puppy bop. Or do I just go in there and shut my mouth and just let it evolve? And to the degree that I do not have to justify myself, to the degree that I do not have to find myself and identify myself, as you just said, as this story, I am free to relate and create spontaneously in the moment. And maybe that's what the guy meant when he said to be in this world. Yeah, you're in the story. Yeah, but you're not of the story.
Right, that's what I just said, yeah. Absolutely, you see, because I think stories are fun. Stories are great, great fun, and we like them, and we enjoy them, and once again, they define us, you know, and I think we talked about that a few weeks ago, you know, that it's very important in our present state of evolution to be definable. That love is indefinable, and that's why it's so hard for us to become the love that we are, because then we can't identify ourselves. We're just, you know, like fleeting moments in time, you know, made up of many cells and things, but our stories give identification. Our stories define us, and they're very important to us. All those, well, I said, and he said, and she said, and those are part of our stories.
Well, we watch TV and movies all the time. We're always caught up in stories. It's almost like we're addicted to stories, or we love them. And speaking of story, if you'd like to join into this conversation, you can do so at 888-627-6008.
Say that again.
888-627-6008. And speaking of stories, you know, well, what about this, those stories of my life or the stories of your life? Let's listen to Jonathan Butler and his take on the story of life.
Truth is a feather falling from the sky. Push back the waters and all the tears you cried. My bones were scattered, they marked the countryside. Your heart was broken, it's the story of life. Oh, oh, story of life. Oh, yes. The ink of heaven flowing from my pen, inscribed in iron, the words of discipline. In arts and letters, you see the crimson trail, spellbound in anger. You could not let me fail. No, no, it's the story of life. From the sky, push back the waters and all the tears you cried. My bones were scattered, they marked the countryside. Your heart was broken, it's the story of a life. Story.
Story of life.
Love stories are the stories that lead us the most, I think. You know, because the chemistry that love produces is so vital and powerful that it knocks us off our pins. So we love those stories best of all stories. We love the story, you know, when we're in love, when we're not in love, when it's unrequited love, when it's torturous love, it doesn't matter as long as it's a love story. We just seem to love that one. That's our favorite story, love stories. And we have love stories with things other than people, too. We have love stories with things. We have love stories with events. We have love stories with situations that we can and can't control.
Here's what Yeshua says about that. He says, every story, one way or another, is potentially a love story. It may not be about fulfilled love, but still it is about love. Desired love, denied love, lost love, broken love, oppressed love, tender love, tough love, forbidden love, jealousy, refused love, hate, forgotten love, sacrifice, service, or compassion. Your challenge is to find the power of love within whatever story you live.
Oh, I like that, definitely. That's a great challenge. I'm up for it. I'll take them on.
Well, let's get into that. So how do you find that love within the story? I think that's a really important thing to consider. And it starts with what?
I think it starts with the realization that it's a story. I mean, once you say this is a story, then you don't resist it and it's there, you can play with it. You can do anything you want with it. You can create with it. You can dress it up. You can undress it. You can do all sorts of things with it. And to me, that you're exhibiting a state of love when you're not in resistance to the story itself.
I think about like feel-good movies or stories or books, whatever, where there's really a triumph of love as it may show up in all kinds of ways. Think of how many movies that have endeared you to them that were about essentially the discovery of love. It could be an understanding that a character may have come to about themselves or others. It could be overcoming fear, certainly, and being that love in the face of fear. Just think of all the love stories. I was thinking today as I was looking up songs for story, one of the words that kept coming up was West Side Story and all the different songs from that. And you think about West Side Story and how love did show up at the end. There's that wonderful moment, for those of you who may or may not remember West Side Story, when these two gangs, and there's a killing, and Tony, the leading man, is killed. But boys from both gangs reach down to lift up the body at the end of the movie. It's not something we tend to think about when we think about the movie, because the music is so amazing and it's the dance, etc. But there's that moment where love really comes through, kind of squeaks out in a small way as the two different gangs reach down to cart the body away.
And for the most of us, I think love triumphant love in a story is very appetizing, very delicious, very fulfilling. And I mean, there's schmaltzy love triumphing, you know, that. But I mean, think of like all the animated cartoons we grew up with, like Bambi, Snow White, you know, that they were all love triumphs at the end. You know, it's always, there's this desire in us to see that happen. And even if it's the most sentimental love, it's still love in terms of how we can recognize it and how we can deal with it. You know, because the love that I'm looking at this point in my life is the love that's undefinable. And all of that love was very definable. It was very clear, you know, the kiss at the end, you know, and walk off into the sunset.
Or even the fact that they say the end, like the story has an ending.
Right. There was one movie, but I can't remember which movie it was, that said the beginning at the end.
Uh-huh.
The beginning, that it was, uh-huh, it was the beginning of something new as a result of getting to that point. But I can't remember the name of this the movie. Maybe it was my movie.
Yeah, it was your movie. It's the beginning of the next moment. This is interesting what he says here. He says, you have a choice in every story you live or write. Will you focus on its drama, or will you focus on the power that gives it greater meaning?
I wonder if you can focus on something if it's outside of your knowingness. I'm reading Diana Gabaldon's latest book, and I love reading her books because she has so many Scottish.
Define that for those who don't know Diana Gabaldon.
She wrote the Outlander series. This is one of the Outlander books, but the Outlander book is about a woman who walks through these stones and goes back in time 200 years, and her life, of course, changes. And the man that she meets who belongs to that time. And she's from the 1943, and she goes back in time to 1743.
1943, that was a great year.
Yeah, it was the middle of war.
Yeah, but I was born.
That's true, you were. You were born.
That's why it was such a great year for me.
Exactly. I think it was 43. It was either 43 or 40. No, yeah, it was 43. I think, or 45.
Some stories are really, really hard to forgive.
I was going to get into this. So she uses a lot of Scottish terminology, you know, like, didn't you ken? You know, didn't you know? Like the word ken meaning know. And I think of that a lot when I think about stories. Didn't you ken that story? Didn't you know that story? Like, and there's stories that are passed on. There are lineage. There's stories of things that happened to our ancestors that get passed on, and they become part of our story and through the fabric that brings us together.
I wonder if we're losing a lot of that because of technology.
No, when you have 8 million stories that are being passed on.
No, I'm talking about the passing on of the personal history in the family. For example, when I grew up, I didn't have that experience of hearing of stories. Now I would have really appreciated hearing the stories of previous generations or my father, but people were busy watching television and being distracted. And so I believe we've lost some of that. And also, if you have to get your story down to 144 characters, then it's a very brief story. Now, maybe the upside of that is move it on to the next story. But the key is here, as we're trying to point out, is to remember that it's just a story. These events and these characters feeling the way they do in these events, and things starting and things decaying and falling apart and something else showing up, and then it goes through a life cycle. And we are the experiences of the story, and that's what we get to experience and enjoy. Because one of the things about that is we have it good. We really do have it good and sometimes we can let the stories get in the way of that when we do get sucked into the drama.
This fighting on the run, 'cause it's so wrong, and it could be so right. In my heart I know we're here to grow, to love, to give, to learn, to live together.
And I believe in miracles. Open up your eyes.
Got a soul. Don't you know we're golden, covered
it up with mud. One day you'll see the truth that we all share the same blood. Supposed to love thy neighbor, together we should stand. Whatever color, race or creed, come on and hold my hand. Cause I don't differ when she hates. We're all the same to me. Got a soul, got a mind, got a heart that beats in time. You got a smile, got a voice, got the gift of love. You got to connect with everyone. And it's getting so serious. Crushed my heart in pieces. But I know I'm not alone in wanting.
Use it to connect with everyone. We got it good, that love.
What is it called?
Got It Good by an artist by the name of Jem. J-E-M. I love her. I found her, just arbitrarily picked her up the library shelf a couple of weeks ago, and I had no idea. Jem, J-E-M. And speaking of no idea, this is Errol Strider with Rochelle Strider and Insight Out. And we are here at Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional, by the way, which is really great. But we warn people that the truth is always naked.
And I would say, you know, I used to watch a program in New York City called NYPD.
You were on
one. I was even on one of those episodes. But they would start off, there's 8 million stories in New York City, and this is one of them, you know, like... And one, you know, and 8 million stories, because there are 8 million people. And here at Lupin, we're about 30, 40, 50 people. And that means there's 50 stories for sure. And they happen all day long. And you're interacting with them all day long. And they're sometimes they're very dramatic. And sometimes they're very funny. Not always to the people who are in the story, but... Sometimes just the onlookers enjoy them a lot more than the people in the story. But they're there all the time. There's no escaping a story. There's no escaping your story, because you are your story. So there's no escaping it. And what, you know, like if you read a book, and what keeps the story moving is usually the characters in the story and their interaction with everything, you know, situations, other people, whatever. And it's so interesting because we are the character in the story. So we keep it moving all the time, just by the way we think about things. You know, you have four people looking at something. Well, oh no, that movie was Rashomon. Remember Rashomon, the movie?
Yes.
Where all these people told their story about an event that happened, and they were all different. It was the event was the event, but everyone's take on it was different. And it was very fascinating, because wasn't it like a murder or something?
Or rape, or
something not pleasant, you know. But everybody had a different story around it.
And they did an American version. I think it was called The Outrage.
I don't remember.
But that was really interesting, I think, with Edward G. Robinson.
But it's happening all the time like that. You know, it's like I sit here and I hear a story about something. And then a few minutes later, somebody comes and tells me another story about the same event. And then another person tells me another story about the same event. And you go, well, what is the truth about here? What is the truth? That is our stories true, or are they just our particular truth and not true at all?
Well, again, it goes back to those perceptions, as we talk about at the beginning of the show, assumptions, beliefs, and attitudes that we foist onto the circumstances of our life, a lot of it hinging around what's at stake.
Everything. That's just it. It's everything. That's why we get scared. It's everything is at stake. My whole life is at stake in a lot of things. And then I will get scared, and I will make my story into almost a violent story. You know, I'll get mad at somebody or angry because the story is, this is the way I want my story to be. And if you come into my story and start moving it around and switching it around, I'm going to get mad at you.
Yeah, the plot is the way I've determined it. By the way, if you've got a story that needs deconstructing in the light of our theme tonight, call us right now, 888-627-6008. And let's see if we can deepen our way of understanding the story.
Personally, I like having stories. I remember that when I was little and my grandmother would tell me stories about what her life was like in the old country. You know, because she was an immigrant and she came to this country and she was 13 years old and she would tell me all these stories and I was fascinated by them. I mean, it was like in my eyes, there were more dimensions to my grandmother as a result of these stories. I mean, she took on more dimension. You know, there was this grandma that I just hugged and sat with, this soft, round lady. But then she had these stories and I knew more about her as a result of it. And to tell stories of people's lives to their children is, I think, a very important thing. I don't know that people do that very much. And you said maybe television. Didn't your parents really never told you stories about their life?
If they did, I don't remember. They may have. I don't know.
Well, my parents did. They told us stories. They would say, like, when I was a little boy, blah, blah, when I was a little girl, blah, blah. And I would hear those stories. I found those stories fascinating because they were people I knew who lived these things. And personally, I like being a story.
Well, that's good, Rochelle.
I like being a story. It's fun. It's a fun thing. It's joyful to be a story. I mean, it's not like I can escape it even. I can't, because every waking moment of my life is part of that story. So I might as well like it.
Let's go back to this thing about finding the love within the story. So every story has this opportunity to discover love. And here we're referring to that essential, as you say, undefinable, fundamental reality of being that supports and manifests into everything and is there and is available and is contactable if we can detach ourselves from our addiction to our story.
I don't know what you actually mean by that, our addiction. You mean we make up stories to feel alive? Or we make them more dramatic? I mean, what do you mean by
all
addiction
of that
to a story? Because if I am my story, then I'm addicted to myself.
It's being addicted to the phenomenon of the story to validate yourself. That's where the addiction is. In other words, if you are afraid that you won't have a self without the story, and then you keep fixating on the story, then I would say that's an addiction. It's a false god in the biblical sense. We've made
there
another
lots
story.
Of stories in that thing. In the biblical
granted,
sense.
Granted. But it's trying to get something out of a passing phenomenon that is unable to pay off because it is just a series of events that are passing. And what is most fundamental is that which is permanent, which is the now, out of which we can develop stories and creations to our heart's content. Indeed, that is what we're invited to do as co-participants and co-creators in this vast universe that must have drillions and drillions of stories going on all the
but
time.
What if it was like that our stories are cumulative. You know, you start off, you have little stories when you're little, and then you have other stories as you get bigger. And now you are here. And they're cumulative. You are a bunch of stories. You know, you're all these stories put together, and that's who you are right now. And because you're living right here, you're still having stories, and they keep going. And when you're gone, I mean, as we know ourselves, we're gone. This physical entity called Rochelle will be gone, and will my stories remain?
Well, somebody's
life to somebody else's physical identity.
Well, another way maybe of framing that is how much of your ongoing story will have mattered to enough people or to a sufficient amount that your story, or at least their memory and interpretation of your story, because that's all they're left with, actually
becomes their story.
That's right. Becomes their story. And to what degree does it make a difference in the direction of their life and the decisions they make and the values we hold?
Well, I don't think you can even, you can't minimize that because it's happening all the time. And just like a drop of water going into a huge ocean, you know, it doesn't seem like it did very much because there's so much water in there. How can that one drop make a difference? But it does. It does make a difference. And I think that every story that's dropped into life makes a difference to somebody in some way that you don't even know about because you can't control it.
Last week, I shared a poem called Responsibility. And I wanted to share this story about it. It's a poem that I had written. We had gone to a conference of educators and therapists regarding addiction and family systems, etc., part of a wonderful organization called IID, Institute for Integral Development. Dear friend Dan Barmettler has been running that for many, many years. So we had gone to numbers of these conferences, and typically at the conference, we did a program and made our materials available. And I was at a conference a few years ago. I can't remember where it was. Oh, yes, I think it was probably in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And this man, I was sitting in between sessions, and he introduced himself to me, and he said, oh, by the way, I really enjoyed that poem, Responsibility, that you wrote. Now, first of all, my first surprise in the story was that I never shared that poem. It's not a part of our repertoire. I had no recollection of having even done that poem at any event. And it turns out he was one of the directors of the, what used to be the Boys' Home. Wasn't that famous home? There was a movie with
Boys Town
with O'Brien. What was his name? Patrick O'Brien.
Yeah,
it's now Boys and Girls Town, by the way.
I think it was Spencer Tracy too.
Yeah, that's right. And he was the director of that. And he went on to say that in the poem there was this particular line that he especially liked, and it was something about hanging up the towels right, because in the poem, I go through all the different things and ways in which I feel I am responsible. And it just so happened that in a few months before that event, I went back through that poem, and I really did not like that line.
I got to show you.
and I really was trying to get rid of it. And I worked on it and thought about it, and I just couldn't find a way to remove it or anything to replace it with. So here I am sitting in front of this man who is an influence on all these boys and girls in this Boys and Girls Town. And the thing that stuck out for him was the very line that was I found most objectionable and which I would have removed if I had been able. So there's a story that really turns around on you and offers up a surprise and unexpected. And I love that in stories, especially if the unexpected and the surprise is not a bad thing or pain. I do need to qualify that.
I think the love comes into play in a story. Like you was telling this story just now, and I was a rapt audience. I was listening to it. There was something about the fact that it was personal, that it happened to you, and you were sharing it with me. And there was it was a communication, a sharing, and in that connection made it love. The connection itself was a state of love. And I think that that's the thing. We have stories that we don't share, that we have stories that we hide. We have stories that we are frightened of, that will make our character seem less, or even stories that make the character seem more, and we shouldn't do that. You know, we shouldn't toot our own horn kind of stories. So, but the sharing of a story with great humility to share a story of something that happened to you is always arresting. I've never not been arrested by someone who's told me a story about themselves that's told with grace.
Oh, I have. I've been bored to tears by some because some people could just go on and they don't make a connection, and so they're
with you.
With me, so they're in their own head. Remember, we used to run a gathering in Boulder, Colorado, a Sunday morning gathering, and we thought we would open it up to other. We had a team that ran it, five or six of us, and we thought we would open it up and invite people to share the stories from the audience. And it just so happens the first person we had invited up, it was this woman. She went on and on and on. And after that, we decided we weren't going to do that anymore because it just wasn't engaging. So that's another element. What makes it engaging?
I think it's what makes it real. You see, like, we don't know what was going on with her. If she felt uncomfortable telling her story, if she felt, I'm going to tell my story and everyone's going to look at me. She had ulterior motives. So it wasn't a pure sharing.
Well, we don't know that. That's just
speculation. Well, yes, you do know it because of the outcome. In other words, you weren't engaged. So if she couldn't engage you, then it wasn't a true sharing.
Well, I might suggest that she was just coming out of her head with this story that wasn't integrated with who she was. And I would suggest that it's being integrated with who you are in the telling of the story, that the more fully you feel, embody, and the more congruent you are with the story, the more it becomes engaging.
Except there's a lot of people who believe that their stories are only in their head. In other words, their story is an introspection of what happened. In other words, they start to deduce what happened as a result of the situation. Oh, I'm getting all confused right now. I'm having a confusing story. My stories have gotten all messed up in my head.
Well, okay. Given that, let's. There's a blessing in the story, but we don't necessarily know how it's going to come about, as we just suggested. So let's stop and consider that for a moment with this song by Laura Story. I usually stay away from.
That's her name, Laura Story?
Yeah, Laura Story. And it's sweet. I mean, I usually stay away from songs that, to me, are kind of overtly, I guess I want to say religious sounding, and seem to perpetuate a sense of separation between us and Source, God, and referring to God as you, and God is you, and God is me, and it's the whole ball of wax. But this particular, which is another episode on our show, but this song, I felt like is worth sharing. So here she is, Laura Story, with the song about blessings.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity, Yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? Voice to hear, and we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not.
Story and blessings.
You know, when you spoke about finding the love, or no, it was, what was the exact sentence? Something about the love in every story.
Right.
I just was reminded of something, you know, like
discovering the presence of love weaving through all stories.
Okay, so what do we find the story? What are we looking for? I think that's the key. No, seek and ye shall find. If you're looking for love, there's love in all stories. There really is, because there's love in every human being. So if you're looking for that, if that's what you're seeking, if that's where you are in your progression, in your evolution, and you're seeking it, you'll find it everywhere. You'll find it in every person. It'll trigger it off in you. Like even in an uncomfortable event will trigger off something in you that the love will be in. When I remember hearing once in my head, don't turn away anything, you know, because there's truth, lessons are there for you in everything. The truth is in everything. And I remember after hearing that, I was living with some people, and they watched a lot of football. And at that point in time, I wasn't watching football. And I was sitting with them, and this coach, pre-football game, was talking about
John Madden, wasn't it?
I don't remember who it was, but he just said everything that I needed to hear in that moment. I mean, he spoke the truth that I needed to hear more than I could. I didn't even know I needed to hear it, but it moved me out of like, oh, where am I? You know, a state of confusion into a state of cohesion, and I loved that. And I remember getting on a bus once, and a bus driver said something, and it was just magical what he said. He wasn't a great thing. I don't know who he was. I never saw him again. But in that moment, bingo, he spoke his story to me. And it wasn't like a long story. It was just a few words. But they touched me, and I could feel like a tiny shift in my consciousness. And I think that's when we are seeking love, seek and you shall find. You know, for that's what we're seeking. We'll find it in every story.
It's like stories are the flavoring of life. It adds so much flavor to it, and robustness and interest and engagement. And it's wonderful that we have stories. And often when I hear like directors or actors in movies interviewed, they talk about the story had some compelling aspect to it or something like that. And it really is such a deep and intimate part of our life that I'm glad we're throwing a little objectivity on it so that we can see that it is just, in fact, a story.
But I wouldn't diminish it. I wouldn't make it less.
Well, it's just,
it may be just a story, but it's just a story, you know. It's like, great.
Well, see, there you have two different versions of the same story.
It's like you are a story. I mean, and that's great. You know, that's fantastic.
Listen to what he said about in his life on earth, Yeshua. He says, I was always in service to God and those who needed me, but I was often viewed as rebellious. This is because I was vigilant about disengaging from stories. Although stories have their value, there is a much better way of relating to life by having goals and purposes that lift one to a higher level and then applying yourself to achieve them. My goal or intention 2,000 years ago was to redeem the earth from its darkness and conflict. My mission was and is to teach love and be a living model of how to love God with one's heart and others as oneself. To these ideals, I gave my whole being. I passed through many stories and created a few, but at no point was I dependent on the consent of the story to accomplish my purpose, goal, or mission. By being firm in this, I demonstrated that when one's life is for a purpose, it transcends all stories. So, yes, by all means, let's enjoy them. As a matter of fact, let's just stop a minute, if I may make this suggestion for you listeners out there, and this is The Laughing Heart. There's a song called A Story of My Life by One Direction. I'm not going to play the song, but I am going to play the instrumental version. It's very sweet. And I hope you can use this as an opportunity to drop into that part of you that looks on the stories, perhaps with amusement and joy, like a grandparent might look upon his small grandchild playing cops and robbers, or sonic men and aliens out on the playground, and knowing that it's just a story. It reminds me once, our son Lev was playing in the backyard, and we said, it's time to go. Now, he had turned his swing set into a whole spaceship, and he was very upset that we asked him to leave. And he didn't realize that he had given it all the meaning that it had, and that he could create meaning or story wherever he went.
Of course he didn't realize that. He was how old?
He was 6 months.
I mean, that's how old mankind is in many ways, and that's why we don't realize it either, that we created the story.
But it is good when the story has a resolution, when we're able to transcend those aspects of the story that push us apart and cause us to be disturbed and to judge ourselves or others, and to realize that we are ultimately connected and there is this greater story that is unfolding that we call evolution. And talk about a story that is full of diversity and surprise and comings and goings and all sorts of goings on and shenanigans. Evolution is full of shenanigans, wouldn't you say?
Yes, and especially when human beings joined evolution.
Right.
Boy, and we make up stories all the time. We're really good at it.
And imagine the other planets, the ones that have started long before ours, that have gone through many more stories in their evolutionary process, and the planets that have yet to even be formed in their sun systems that are potential domiciles for mortal beings or some kind of beings that will move into consciousness. And speaking of moving into consciousness, one of the greatest stories is how we have evolved out of this earthly planet of dirt and water and air and fire. And here we are talking.
And connection.
And connection about stories. And we're going to need to take off here in just a couple of minutes. So let's wrap up. This is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. Tonight we've been looking at the distinction between stories and what's more fundamental, our life, and put them in their proper perspective. Yes?
Well, I'm not putting them in a closet, that's for sure, because I want my story to fill me with the desire to be more than my story.
I like that. I like that. I'm trying to think of there was a story, just real quick, wouldn't I remind you? It was the time I went to New York. You reminded me of this earlier. And we got into the cab with some girls that had never been in New York before. And they were so excited. And they said to the cab driver, boy, it must be so exciting. You're driving a cab in New York City. And the cab driver said, yeah, lady, it's a real thrill. I cannot wait to get up in the morning and get in this car here and experience the thrillingness of being a cabbie in New York City.
I think that's true, though. Most cabbies do find it exhilarating, as with many stories in New York City, 8 million stories, and how many cabbies, get to involve themselves in a lot of stories.
They do, even to the point that they're now videotaping these people in the backseat of their cars. But we won't get into that. We will leave you with this, so that hope your story is juicy and rich and full of unexpected, delightful surprises, lots of humor and laughs, and if it needs to have some trials and tribulations and pain to advance your soul's development, well, may you handle it with grace.
And remember this, fear is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Good night. Talk to you next week.